One of my favorite comedy movies is the movie The Jerk, and just as an advisement, it's not the most appropriate movie out there, so if you plan on watching this with your kids, I would advise against it, all right? Okay, Pastor likes to watch bad movies, yeah. But anyhow, Steve Martin plays the role of a guy named Navin Johnson, and for lack of a better phrase, Navin is not the brightest crown in the box, okay? He comes from a very poor family in Mississippi, and one day he decides to leave home. He goes to St. Louis, he picks up work at a gas station, and he begins living off of a room that's off of the gas station bathroom. Okay, that's where he's living, and he's working at the gas station. You can see how this becomes pretty funny really quick, right? Well, you know, after a few weeks of working, Navin comes across a man as he's filling up his car, and the man's glasses keep slipping off. And so Navin invents this little device that they end up calling the OptiGrab because it allows you to take your glasses off with this little handle. And it sells millions, and Navin becomes a self-made millionaire almost overnight. And suddenly, the man who once had nothing now has this beautiful mansion and this beautiful wife and this wonderful car and all of this stuff that no person in their right mind could ever use, but he has it. He has it all there. But one day, a lawsuit is brought against Navin. Because this OptiGrab kind of works as a magnet towards your eyes, and so everyone who is wearing it goes cross-eyed. And he gets sued, and he loses this lawsuit. And one of the last scenes of the movie is him sitting with a bathrobe on and his pants around his ankle, sitting at his desk, writing out each check for $1.09 to the 9,900,000 people who sued him. He's right back where he started. He's lost absolutely everything. And in this moment, he's arguing with his wife, and he gets up and says, I don't need anything. You think I need any of this stuff? I don't need anything. And he starts to walk out, and he goes, well, I need this ashtray. That's all I need is this ashtray and this paddleball game. The ashtray and the paddleball, that's all I, and these matches, I need these. The ashtray, the paddle ball, the matches, and the remote control. I need that. I need the remote control and this lamp. But that's all I need. The ashtray, the paddle ball, the matches, the remote control, the lamp. And well, I need this. I need this chair. And that's all I need. The ashtray, the matches, the paddle ball, the remote control, the lamp, and this chair. And that's all I need. And he goes out walking in his bathrobe with his pants around his ankle with all this stuff in his hand. That's all I need. I mean, similar stories have played out like this throughout history, where everything comes to a screeching halt and you're faced with this situation where you have nothing left and yet you want to hold on to something. We would all like to say that we don't need anything, but the reality is we like to hold on to stuff, right? I mean, we would rather die. We would rather end up in the grave than get rid of all of the trinkets that we think resemble our life, and we hold on to them so closely. See, we don't want to experience the divorce with the life that we once knew, with the life that we've created. We don't want to experience that divorce, but when it comes, and it will come, you're left thinking to yourself, well, I don't need anything. And in reality, you will do just like Navin Johnson and find all those things in your life that you just want to hold tightly to. I just need this. I've just got to have that. We want to think that this is not us. And yet we look and we're here holding all of this stuff tightly to us because we can't part with it. And it becomes clear that we have several idols in our life that we are clinging tightly to because this somehow is where we find our identity. It doesn't matter how inanimate or insignificant the object is. Maybe it's people for you. Maybe it's practices or activities in your life. But each and every one of us here is holding on to something. We're all holding on to something because we don't want to experience that divorce. See, in John 3, you heard it in our gospel reading, we're introduced to a man named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes with an impressive pedigree. He's done really well for himself. He's a Pharisee, which means he's part of this Jewish religious leader elite. He might even occupy a spot on the Council of Elders known as the Sanhedrin. He has authority. He has power. People respect him for who he is. He has all of these things. He has all these accomplishments that he comes to Jesus with. And he comes to Jesus by night. And here's what he says. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Very complimentary, right? We might even say that Nicodemus is confessing the divinity of Jesus, that there is something special about this man that he can do all these things. But notice here that Nicodemus does not ask a question. And yet Jesus' response is, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Interesting response, right? Because there was no initial question. There's nothing that provoked that response from Jesus. And so now you can imagine maybe Nicodemus is scratching his older gray hair, and he says, "Well, how can man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" But Jesus doesn't relent. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, this has to be a bit troubling for Nicodemus, because he has been told that he has all he needs. All he needs is to come from the line of Abraham, to be a good and pure Jew. All he needs is to be circumcised. That's what marks him as God's own. That's what marks him as a child of the God of Israel. All he needs is to follow all the laws that God has put forth in the Torah. That's all he needs. And yet here, this guy Jesus is, in so many words, just saying, "No, I'll tell you, you only need one thing, and it's me." It's got to be a little bit mind-boggling, right? He's been told, he has all of these things already. He's held on to all of these things, and yet none of them matter according to Jesus. The only thing that matters is to be reborn according to the way of Jesus Christ, which is baptism. And maybe he comes to the understanding of that more in his life, because we see Nicodemus again after Jesus hangs on the cross. And Nicodemus again comes by night and prepares the body of Jesus for the tomb. You have to say then that something about this made sense. That maybe the image of the cross for Nicodemus made it clear that this was the Savior of the world, that this was the Messiah, that this is the only guy who mattered, that this was all he needed. See, Jesus makes it clear to Nicodemus, and Jesus makes it clear to us that we need to be reborn. And we're reborn through the waters of holy baptism when we're baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing, and yet it's so hard for us, because the very nature of rebirth means that some sort of death is going to happen. That the old person, with all of the trinkets, with all of the things we've held on to, has to die. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's kind of scary. Because the person that you and I have created, it may not be perfect, it may not be the most successful, but it's the person we've created, right? It's the person that we've become comfortable with. And all the areas of darkness in that life we're okay with, because if light were to shine in that darkness, it would show us the messiness of the situation. But when we live in the darkness that is the person we've created, then it doesn't matter because we don't see the messiness. We're comfortable with it. Maybe we even start to decorate the darkness we live in with trinkets of who we think we are. The person we've created, we have some sort of control over. The person we've created is the person we're comfortable with. It's the person that we dress up with masks to hide the real identity. It's the person we put makeup on to hide the scars of abuse or addiction or failure or insecurity. And yet even within all of that, that's still the person we're comfortable with because we have control over it. And what Jesus is saying to us is that we need to give up control. No, thank you. It may not be the best life, but it's my life. It may not be, I may not be the best person, but I'm comfortable with who I am. What is it that can elicit some sort of change in each and every one of us? Let me tell you, it's not you stepping towards God. It's God stepping towards you and showing you who he is. One of the most well-known verses, John 3:16, we stopped just a verse short of that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for us. That is what changes our heart. That is what helps us come to the realization that the life we've been living is not really the life that we want. And it's not the life that God wants for us. But we can only recognize that when we first see the outstretched arms of Jesus on the cross, dying for all of our sins and showing us something better. Showing us a life that he has prepared for us. Showing us the victory over death. It's only when we see that that we can ever give up control. See, baptism means that we're giving up control. I used in the first service a caterpillar and a butterfly, right? One of my favorite books as a kid was A Very Hungry Caterpillar. And that caterpillar, gets in this cocoon and it emerges a butterfly, right? A butterfly is not a caterpillar and a caterpillar is not a butterfly. The caterpillar goes into that cocoon and emerges a new creation. And that's what happens in these waters, that we come out a new creation. You might say that when the old person dies, we become material from which God creates anew. I like what the prophet Jeremiah says. He compares us to clay in the potter's hands. In baptism, we become that clay. I said last week, though, that even after this, even after being filled with the Holy Spirit, though our circumstances don't change, we're not suddenly surrounded by perfect Christians and we're not suddenly perfect people. We're prone to wander. We're prone to go back to all of the trinkets that once made us who we were. And yet, in the hands of the Almighty, he keeps molding us to help us to realize that our lives do not revolve around our ego, but around his glory. That's the point of it all. In baptism, he offers this new life to us, and he restores us, he recreates us, and then throughout our life, he constantly renews us, and he molds us. But it all starts with death. It all starts with the death of Jesus for us, and our subsequent death in the waters of holy baptism. And we're about ready to see that. If I may tell just a little bit, I taught a new members class for the last 4 weeks. Tried to condense 4 years of seminary education into 4 hours of teaching. Almost impossible, right? But we talked about baptism, which I learned should have a night of its own. And we read several verses. We read from John 3 that we are in need of rebirth. Or from 1 Peter 3, where Peter says, baptism now saves. And then my personal favorite from Acts 2, 38 and 39, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. This promise is for you and for your children. What promise? It's the promise of eternal life. See, in baptism, the old dies, and we become material in the Almighty's hand, which he brings forth new life from. And that's what we're going to see today. Would you all mind stepping forward? So, Ashley, you were baptized as a young adult, correct? And Tom, you shared a little bit with me. Tom faithfully served our military at Eglin Air Force Base, which I hate to say is a cushy gig in Florida, right? On Destin? Okay. I didn't pick it. Yeah. I was stationed there for a week, and there was no lodging on base. We got to stay on the beach. Thank you, taxpayers, for that. You said that really when you married Ashley is when your life started to change and when you started to really see God at work in your life. And what was so awesome is our class ended on Wednesday. I came into the office on Thursday with an email from Tom asking if we could baptize him and Haven and Kylie. And I said, absolutely. And what I loved is you said, you know, as you well know, I should not make big decisions without my wife. And I'm like, smart man, smart man. So I'm gonna do this right different for each of you. Okay, so let me ask you this. First of all, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Then say I do.
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only son?
I do.
And do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And Tom, I mark you with the sign of the cross on your forehead and on your heart to let you know that you are one who Christ has redeemed. And I ask you to come over here. This is where a death occurs and yet new life begins. So Tom, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to the family.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Haven, do you want to come do me a favor? Do you want me to bring the bowl out or do you want to stand on this chair? You want to stand here? All right. I'm going to lift you up, okay? Right there. So Haven came in and we practiced this on Friday, right? Yeah. So can I ask you, Haven, do you believe in God the Father Almighty who loves you so much? Do you believe in Jesus Christ who came into the world to show his love for you? And do you believe in the Holy Spirit who still abides in you now? Yeah. Then I mark you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit on your heart, or on your head and on your heart, to mark you as one who Jesus loves. And we're going to baptize you now, okay? All right. Can you lean over just a tad bit?
Yeah.
All right. Haven, I baptize you. In the name of the Father, sit on the side of your head, right?
Yeah.
And the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There you go. You want to hold that? All right, I'll help you hop down. Now, since Kylie cannot answer for herself, she is so cute. She did not want to practice on Friday, though. I'll ask you as the parents this. Do you intend to raise Kylie in the Christian faith, letting her know of God the Father Almighty, who sent Jesus into the world to die for her, and now sends the Holy Spirit to be in with and among us? Do you intend faithfully to do that?
We do.
Awesome. All right, Kylie, you can pick her up. That's where it went sour on Fridays when I tried to. Hey, Kylie, you want to come? You want to bring her a little closer? Kylie, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's okay. Awesome. There you are. we have these candles that we light. And I talked a little bit about darkness in the message. And oftentimes in our life, Haven, you want to hold this one? Oftentimes we talk about darkness in our life, and some of us are content with living in the darkness because the light of Christ is kind of scary. The light of Jesus changes things, and we don't always want them to change. But the beautiful thing about the light of Jesus is it shows us the problems in our life. It shows us the things we've been holding on to. And yet the light of Christ comes with the promise of change. And it's nothing that you do to get closer to God. It's God coming closer and closer to you as you live this life in the church, as you take communion, as you constantly remember this day. Well, very wet over here. Where Christ has marked you as his own. So I would encourage you on the 27th of May every year to light these candles and stick them in a cake and celebrate the day when Jesus marked you as his own. You can blow them out. Family of God at Grace, will you welcome these people into your family, into God's family? Will you promise to pray for them, to care for them, to love them, and to be whatever guidance they need in life and say, we will. We ask you to welcome Tom, Haven, Kylie, and Ashley into the Holy Christian Church where Jesus is King. Let's welcome them.